कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, we didn't chant Jai Radha Madhava, did we? Got sidetracked by that.
Right.
I'll just quick Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava, Punjabi Hari,
Jai Radha Madhava, Punjabi Hari,
Jai Radha Madhava, Punjabi Hari. Okay, we're reading 926, the most confidential knowledge. Patram pushpam phalam toyam.
Patram pushpam phalam toyam.
Yome bhaktya prayachati.
Yome bhaktya prayachati.
Tanaham bhaktya uparitam.
Tanaham bhaktya uparitam.
Asnami prayutatmanaha.
Asnami prayutatmanaha.
Patram,
patram,
a leaf, pushpam,
pushpam,
a flower, phalam,
phalam,
a fruit, toyam,
toyam,
water,
water,
ya,
ya,
whoever,
whoever,
me,
unto me,
bhaktya,
bhaktya,
with
devotion,
prayachati,
prayachati,
offers,
offers,
tat,
tat,
that,
that,
aham,
aham,
I, bhakti uparitam,
bhakti uparitam,
offered
in devotion,
asnami,
asnami,
accept,
accept,
prayatatmana,
from one in pure consciousness,
from one in pure consciousness. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, in order to achieve a permanent blissful abode for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy and can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter what one is or where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to the Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfection of life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. He is not in need of anything from anyone because he is self-sufficient, and yet he accepts the offering of his devotee in an exchange of love and affection. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti, or devotional service, is the only means to approach Krishna. No other condition, such as becoming a Brahmin, a learned scholar, a very rich man, or a great philosopher, can induce Krishna to accept some offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never causal. The process is eternal. It is direct action in service to the absolute whole. Here, Lord Krishna, having established that he is the only enjoyer, the primeval Lord, and the real object of all sacrificial offerings, reveals what type of sacrifice he desires to be offered. If one wishes to engage in devotional service to the Supreme in order to be purified and to reach the goal of life, the transcendental loving service of God, then one should find out what the Lord desires of him. One who loves Krishna will give him whatever he wants, and he avoids offering anything which is undesirable or unasked. Thus, meat, fish, and eggs should not be offered to Krishna. If he desired such things as offering, he would have said so. Instead, he clearly requests that a leaf, fruit, flowers, and water can be given to him, and he says of this offering, I will accept it. Therefore, we should understand that he will not accept meat, fish, and eggs. Vegetables, grains, fruit, milk, and water are the proper foods for human beings and are prescribed by the Lord himself, by Lord Krishna himself. Whatever else we eat cannot be offered to him, since he will not accept it. Thus, we cannot be acting on the level of loving devotion if we offer such foods. In the third chapter, verse 13, Sri Krishna explains that only the remains of sacrifice are purified and fit for consumption by those who are seeking advancement in life and released from the clutches of the material entanglement. Those who do not make an offering of their food, he says in the same verse, are eating only sin. In other words, their every mouthful is simply deepening their involvement in the complexities of material nature. But preparing nice, simple vegetable dishes, offering them before the picture or deity of Lord Krishna, and bowing down and praying to him to accept such a humble offering, enables one to advance steadily in life, to purify the body, and to create fine brain tissues, which will lead to clear thinking. Above all, the offering should be made with an attitude of love. Krishna has no need of food, since he already possesses everything that be. Yet he will accept the offering of one who desires to please him in that way. The important element in preparation, in serving, and offering is to act with love for Krishna. The impersonalist philosophers who wish to maintain that the absolute truth is without senses cannot comprehend this verse of Bhagavad Gita. To them, it is either a metaphor or proof of the mundane character of Krishna, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. But in actuality, Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, has senses, and it is stated that his senses are interchangeable. In other words, one sense can perform the function of any other. This is what it means to say that Krishna is absolute. Lacking senses, he could hardly be considered full in all opulences. In the seventh chapter, Krishna has explained that he impregnates the living entities into material nature. This is done by his looking upon material nature. And so in this instance, Krishna's hearing the devotee's words of love in offering foodstuffs is wholly identical with his eating and actually tasting. This point should be emphasized. Because of his absolute position, his hearing is wholly identical with his eating and tasting. Only the devotee who accepts Krishna as he describes himself without interpretation can understand that the absolute truth can eat food and enjoy it. The verse again. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti payachati tanaham bhakti uparitaham ashnami prayayatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. Jai. So we can see Srila Prabhupada's purport is so nice. explaining how this is universal. It's open to everyone, from the rich man to poor man. Everyone can offer. And we say we can offer also our words, our time, our money, our life. There's so many things we can offer to Krishna, and he'll accept. But the qualification, it has to be done with devotion. In other words, Krishna is trying to expand his loving relationships. This is Krishna's nature. Just like a businessman is trying to expand his business, make more money. So Krishna's interest is love. He's a loving person, and he relishes these affairs. So some living entities have chosen to not to withhold their love from Krishna. Therefore, they come to the material world, conditioned souls. We take pleasure out of depriving Krishna of his rightful enjoyment of us. Actually, by constitution, we're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. Krishna is Purusha, we're Prakriti. But we take some perverse pleasure out of depriving him of that. This is what passes for pleasure here in the material world. And instead, we put ourselves as the enjoyer. But this is not our constitutional position. We're not meant to be the primary enjoyer. So, Krishna's not happy with this condition because he would like to enjoy with us. Just like if a man has a wife, he wants to enjoy. Sometimes that example is given. If the husband comes home at night, the wife is sleeping, he may wake her, so he wants to enjoy. But she'll also enjoy. This is the idea. We're depriving ourselves of the opportunity to be enjoyed by Krishna. If we allow ourselves to be enjoyed by Krishna, then we'll also enjoy. But it's a different change of consciousness. We have to give up the predominating, the dominant mood that I'm the male enjoyer. Krishna is the only male, actually, Purusha. We're all Prakriti, which is female. So if we agree to that proposal and allow ourselves to be enjoyed, then Krishna will enjoy. Just like we, a rich man may enjoy. His little son comes and offers him some sweet or something that mother has cooked. And the father will take pleasure out of that. He'll enjoy the seeing the son making an offering. So Krishna enjoys the devotion that we're offering. He doesn't need the Pataram Pushpam. These things are all coming from him. He doesn't require. But he takes pleasure out of seeing our devotion. From him, he comes to canvas and he speaks Bhagavad Gita and he gives us advice. Why don't you just turn to me? But even more compassionate than the Lord is the Lord's devotees who take risk of being attacked, and so many examples are there. Haridas Thakur, how he was attacked and beaten in the marketplace. Why? Because he was telling people that Krishna is your father, Krishna is your mother, Krishna is everything, your life and soul. Why not turn to Krishna? So people in this world are so envious that such pure devotees are sometimes attacked. But they don't care because they know the purpose of the Lord. Therefore we say the devotee is even more merciful than the Lord, because they know that this is the intention of the Lord. He wants the conditioned souls to give up their illusion and to come back to him. But because it's based on love, he doesn't force us. So the devotees understand this, and therefore they canvass on the Lord's behalf. And they try to bring people. Like now we're approaching Lord Nityananda's appearance day in a couple of weeks. So he's the prototype or the original spiritual master, because he's bringing everyone to Lord Chaitanya. This is the mood of the spiritual master. He's not thinking these are my disciples. He's thinking everyone should be engaged in Krishna's service. So he's bringing everyone to Krishna. But he does that in an authorized way under the order of his spiritual master. He doesn't create a new system for training people or bringing them to Krishna. No, the old system is there. Pataram Pushpam, you should just become a devotee. Man Mana Bhakta. So this is the business of the spiritual master, training people how to be devotees of Krishna. And this kind of work is very pleasing to Krishna. And by taking up this kind of work, Prabhupada wanted all of us, thousands of disciples, or thousands of spiritual masters, and hundreds of thousands of disciples, because it will relieve the suffering. This is the point, that we may take some perverse pleasure out of depriving Krishna of enjoying us, but in the meantime we suffer. That's practical. Dukalayam ashashvatam. The whole atmosphere is full of problems, problematic. Who can deny? The problems are coming. As soon as you solve one problem, another problem will come on this side. And the basic problem is old age and disease and death. That is, no one can escape. So the devotee then is sorry to see the others are suffering. And because he's convinced about the remedy, and he's experiencing it in his own life, that by chanting Hare Krishna, by becoming a devotee, I'm no longer in anxiety about death. So therefore, he's very bold to go to ordinary people, to the materialistic people, and to try to persuade them to give up this false sense of proprietorship or false sense of being the controller and the enjoyer and so on, and come to the lotus feet of the Lord. Bow down to the Lord. Like, who is it singing that song? Bow down, mister. There was one famous rock star. He was in Vrindavan. He was singing how people were coming to bow down. So he made a song like that. Yes, that's what we should do. I remember when I was first coming to Krishna consciousness, we had a house like this. I came in and saw people were bowing down. I said, wow, this is strange. People are bowing down. Because, in ordinary society, they don't do that. But I thought, well, this is something new. I don't know anything about it, so I'll just follow in the, what the others are doing. So I also started bowing down. And one devotee, he was challenging at one point. He said he didn't want to bow down. So he told Prabhupada, I have to be true to myself. I don't feel any inspiration to bow down, so why should I do it? He made that argument. So Prabhupada countered by saying, that's okay. You just go on bowing down and you will feel like doing it. This is the idea. That it's a practicing. We may not feel like offering the food to Krishna, I want to just eat, put it in my mouth, like a child. And one immediately goes in the mouth, right, if you give them something. So we're the same child, only a little grown up, a little more sophisticated. But that urge is still there. Give me, put it in my mouth. So we have to practice. Let's offer to Krishna. This is a practice called sadhana bhakti. By practicing, then we'll appreciate, wow, this food is not ordinary food. Krishna has tasted it, so it becomes special. Prasadam. And it's cooked with love, so it's not something, you know, just thrown together by somebody in bad consciousness who doesn't give a damn about it. They just want to get money, you know, and the consciousness goes into the food and we become affected by it. No, this is offered in a proper way. So by eating it, Prabhupada is mentioning here how simply by eating, we become purified. It's a nice process. You don't have to stand on your head or do gymnastics or something. Just simply sit down and eat and you can make advancement in spiritual life. But first you have to only eat the food which is nicely offered to Krishna. And that becomes prasadam. So the whole process is very simple. But we make it complicated because we're not simple. We were discussing that point this morning, how this is the most important qualification, not to be duplicit. Kutinata means tricky. We should be just straightforward. If there's something we don't understand, then we can inquire. Well, why do we have to bow down like that devotee is? And then the explanation will be given. Why are we... Everything we do, there should be some purpose. It's not whimsical. All our activities, there's a philosophy behind it. We're open for questions. We want people to inquire. But we have to be straightforward. As we give the example, if somebody's sleeping, we can wake them up. But if they're pretending to sleep, then you can't wake them up. Oh, you're shaking. Because they're not really sleeping. So the same way, people come, we can give the knowledge that can awaken them to their real life, to come up to the higher platform of transcendental ecstasy. We know that there's four states of consciousness. There's deep sleep, or like unconscious, then there's dreaming state, then there's wakeful state, then there's a higher state, which is available to us. We can come to that, like samadhi state. But in order to come to that, we have to be qualified. So by Prabhupada's mercy, we have that process, a very scientific process, how to come out of the ordinary consciousness, how to attain this higher ecstatic state. You can come to that. But you have to be honest about the process. You know, you have to take it honestly. If you try to make a shortcut and you say, no, I don't like the way that, you know, the past Acharya gave us this process, I'm going to make it faster, then Lord Chaitanya called such a person a prostitute. Why are you not, loyal to your spiritual master? Why you want to think you're better than him? No, you have to go. And this is the way, step by step. And then you can be confident that your advance will be there. But if you want to cheat, then Krishna is the biggest cheater. He's more tricky than anyone. So we have to give up this idea that we can cheat Krishna or that we can circumvent the process that he has given us. He has given us this process. Evam parampara praptam. He has given us a very scientific process. If we just study Bhagavad Gita, we see everything is there. Everything, right in this Bhagavad Gita. If you become conversant in Bhagavad Gita, actually know the principles thoroughly, then you're eligible to go back to the spiritual world. This is a fact. So why not take it seriously? Krishna says one who studies this Bhagavad Gita by his intelligence, he can become perfect. And no one is more dear to me, he says, than one who explains it to others. Naturally, if we have something good, we want to share it. This is the common, consciousness. If we see something, oh, look at that beautiful sunset. We want to share. We don't want to just see it ourselves. Isn't that natural? If we're walking with somebody, oh, look at that. Look at the moon. Did you see that? Oh, it looks so beautiful. So we have something wonderful here, this Krishna consciousness. So naturally we should tell others about it. This was Lord Chaitanya's advice. Whoever you meet, talk to them about Krishna. So we'll see that sometimes it may embarrass us a little bit. Somebody may not be receptive or so. But that little austerity that we take for spreading Krishna consciousness is very pleasing to the Lord. That kind of austerity is required. Rishabhdev talks about it in the fifth canto, how in the human form of life, austerity is the most valuable thing, because we can become purified by that. By consciously undergoing some trouble for Krishna, then we become purified. The animal, you can't convince them about the need of austerity. I mean, you can trick them by giving them some food or something, but their natural thing is to always look for sense gratification. So we have that animal body also. The natural tendency is to go for sense gratification, to put the food in our mouth immediately. So we have to undergo some practicing, some austerity, rising early in the morning, offering our food, chanting Hare Krishna. And the next austerity also, which is just as valuable, you can say, is the prachar. We say achar is the practice, prachar is the preaching. The train is moving on two tracks. If we just practice, we don't preach, then we won't go deeply. Our realization won't be deep. Only by telling, then it becomes, we become convinced. Just like now, I'm speaking. The main person I'm speaking to is my own dull brain. By speaking, I become enlivened with this philosophy. I'm stupid, but the philosophy is so perfect that just by repeating it, I become enlivened. Oh, such a nice thing. All I have to do is talk to people about Krishna. But we'll see that we're lazy about that. We don't take opportunities. I know. During the day, there'll be opportunities. You can talk to people about Krishna. Like our godbrother Pragosh, he always keeps some books, some small book. So why not do that? You'll meet somebody during the day, at least one person, who'll be receptive. Give them a small book. Nice if you put our address on the back. Why not? That was Prabhupada's mood. He didn't come. He came here only with his books. He had no money, nothing. But he brought his books. He was emphasizing this book distribution. So we want to also emphasize to distribute the knowledge in any way, just like our Gopi Wale was telling how you distributed so many books at a program a few weeks ago. This is the process. Because we can speak something, it may go in one ear and out the other. But just see, this beautiful purport, Prabhupada's purport, so nice. So scientific, so realized. You can see it's coming from the person who has realized. He's not just writing some theory that he's heard, of some book learning. But he's writing something which he's heard, he's taken it into his life, he's assimilated it, digested it, and then he can present it in a realized way, fully realized way. So we can't imitate that. Therefore, we should direct people to Prabhupada's books. We can speak something according to our realization, but still, the emphasis should be on distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Okay, any questions? Back to Daniel.
First of all, I'd just like to make one quick brief comment.
Okay.
It's just that I've known women that would want to play the domineering position too as well.
Yeah, they're imitating the Purusha, that's right. Perfect. Men and women both are imitating Krishna here in the material world, trying to be the dominating.
Yeah.
That's true.
Thank you. Whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. I
understand
that, but the part where if one offers me with love, devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Now that's talking about just before or right when one starts worship service.
No, before or after.
In my own home, as far as that goes, right?
You can do it in your own home, sure. We keep a picture of Krishna.
Uh-huh.
Before you eat, you offer the food to Krishna. Then it becomes prasadam.
Okay. All right. So is it wise to do that all the time, every time?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right.
And we have some prayers that we can give you, a sheet of prayers which are recommended to pray at, while you're making that offering.
Okay, thank you.
So Krishna will give you before you leave tonight. Anyone else? So we're very proud of Bhakti Daniel. He's got all our books. He got a full set of Bhagavatams. He's reading.
He's dressing like Vaishnava.
Yeah. Yeah. Carrying a bead bag.
And write it down. Remember it. Close it up. And you know, write down.
But one thing I want to stress is that we were just reading today.
Yes.
Prabhupada says that by reading alone is not sufficient. You have to also have it explained, just like you're coming here.
Uh-huh.
You have to hear and explain because.
Yes, sir.
We do emphasize book distribution, but the books themselves tell us that we should associate and serve the Vaishnavas. It is a very important item.
Okay.
To associate with the devotees as much as you can, not only for you but for everybody.
Thank
and
you.
To hear from them, and then we'll do it. So many doubts will come naturally, because one of the sign of doubting is intelligence. If you're intelligent, you're going to doubt. You're not going to just have everything blindly. So you have to go just like you're asking. So we should go deeply into the subject,
uh-huh.
And then the Vaishnavas will be there to explain. There's so many nice Vaishnavas here, so you should take advantage. That's the point. to have it explained to you. Sometimes Prabhupada says hearing and explaining is even more important than studying. Studying is important, but then there's going to be questions. If you just...
I ask questions all the time. That's one of the things I was...
But then also, it has to be a good question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just to...
Intelligent questions.
Yeah, that's required. Okay. Anyone else have an intelligent question? Or comment?
Krishna is indicating in this verse, or Prabhupada elucidated in the purport, that even the poorest man can offer a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, and Krishna will be pleased. It seems like in society today there's so much discussion now about the disparity between, there's so many people, some people are very rich and some are poor, and they're trying to equalize everything, but in Krishna consciousness, we're not so interested in that, right? Whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whatever position we're in, we simply want to develop our devotion, isn't it?
That's right. Just like that was the argument Prabhupada gave to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta in their first meeting. But first let us become independent. Now we're a dependent nation under the British. So how can... First let us work with Gandhi and make the country free. But Bhakti Siddhanta defeated him. He said, no. But in any position, you can take Krishna consciousness. You can take up spiritual life. Don't think you have to change your position and then you can take Krishna consciousness. No, from whatever position you're in, you can take Krishna consciousness. That's the idea.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else?
See, Maharaj, we are born and raised in India, in the Hindu philosophy. And somehow or other, unfortunately, by many impersonalists, they have left Krishna out of sight of the whole Vedanta philosophy. And that's what is making difficult for many people, and that's what is even happening today. There are many, many impersonalists. They are carrying on those philosophy around the world. And for the people who are kind of lame, or maybe are not interested, it's making more and more difficult to push this Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, therefore Prabhupada was... In the beginning we were wondering, why is Prabhupada always talking about these impersonalists and Mayavadi?
Yeah, right. Nobody...
He was always smashing them, and we thought, I don't know, who are the Mayavadis that he's talking about? Really, it was us. Yeah, we tend to be impersonalists, too. Therefore we say, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi, and we're full of this voidism and impersonalism. But this is a nice verse to bring us to the point of understanding. Krishna is a person. He eats. He may not eat the way we eat. He can eat just by seeing or hearing. But he also eats. Mother Yasoda is feeding him and so on. So they won't accept that. They want to make God as something impersonal. But we have to smash them. That's how Prabhupada was doing. In other words, they'll come to Bhagavad Gita and they'll also preach this philosophy. I heard one guy preaching in front of 400 people in California not too long ago, less than a year ago. Complete atheist.
Oh, really?
He was preaching on Bhagavad Gita. Saying, of course, it's not that Krishna is God, but he's just taking the role of the prophet or the self-realized soul. And go. His whole argument was, actually, there's no God. We all have... I couldn't believe it. I had to walk out. I was going to challenge him, but I didn't think that was the... It's a little delicate because, 400 or 500 people in the audience, and whether... I think just walking out in the middle of it is... I was up in the front, too. When I got up, everybody saw me get up and walk out right in the beginning of this talk when I realized what he was saying. I couldn't believe it.
I don't blame you.
But, this is like you say, the Hinduism has been spoiled by this. So we have to become staunch Vaishnavas and break their heads, especially on the strength of Bhagavad Gita. There's so many verses where Krishna is clearly indicating that he's a person, aham sarvasya prabhava, aham, 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 like in this verse. Who is that I? Okay. You want to make a comment anyway? Bhagavad Gita ki.
Jai.